I want to deal with something that I believe God's going to bless you with. I was preaching a convention one time, and I was about ready to be introduced, and this pastor, friend of mine, he says, "The biggest pest I know, Jesse Duplantis." And I thought, what that ignorant thing, what he did, call me a pest. Well, I preached that night, and the Lord moved, and God blessed. I got back to the hotel that night, and that word pest was on my mind, naturally. So I began to think about that, and I said, let me see if the word pest is in the Bible. So I found the word pest, and it said Paul was a pestilent fellow. So I looked it up in the Greek, and the word pestilent means a Christian disease. Going somewhere to infect somebody with the power of Jesus' name. Ooh, what a blessing. Then it dawned on me, that's the best compliment I've ever received. A pestilent fellow, a Christian disease. Then it dawned on me, I am a virus. Going somewhere to infect someone, I'll climb up your nose and 3 days later will manifest a miracle of Jesus. A virus that will contact with you and manifest. Ooh, this is going to be a good sermon. I'm going to buy the tape myself. A pestilent fellow. I want to deal with pestilent people. Acts 24, verse 1. And after 5 days, Ananias, reading out of the King James Version. And after 5 days, Ananias, the high priest, descended with the elders and with a certain orator named Tertullus. Tertullus was the Perry Mason of that day. He's one big hotshot lawyer who informed the governor against Paul. And when he was called forth, Tertullus began to accuse him, saying, now notice how this boy talks. Seeing that by thee we enjoy great quietness, and that very worthy deeds are done unto this nation by thy providence, we accept it always and all places, most noble Felix, with all thankfulness. His boy got a silver tongue, don't he? He's the paramason of that day. They got the best lawyer in town to come against Paul. Notwithstanding that I be not further tedious unto thee, I pray thee that thou wouldest hear us of thy clemency a few words. Now listen to this. For we have found this man a pestilent fellow. I believe the New American Standard says a real pest. A pestilent fellow. The word pestilent means a Christian disease, a plague. The word fellow in the Greek means a reproach against sin. That's right. Are you a reproach against sin? When people see you, are they convicted of the sin that's in their lives because you are a reproach against it? Now we'll find out why they called him a pestilent fellow. And a mover of sedition among all the Jews throughout the world. And a ringleader, the word ringleader, the Greek there, means a military commander of the sect of the Nazarenes. Are you a commando for God? Who also have gone about to profane the temple, whom we took and would have judged according to our law. But the chief captain, Lysias, came upon us and with great violence took him away out of our hands. Notice that. Commanding his accusers to come unto thee by examining of whom thyself mayest take knowledge of all these things, whereof we accuse him. And the Jews also assented, saying that these things were so. Notice the church will come against you. The religious crowd. Not the born again crowd. The religious crowd. And here they got Tertullus. Now why did they call Paul a pestilent fellow? A plague. A Christian disease. People get around him, they get saved. Go down to verse 14. Here Paul speaking, he says this. But this I confess unto you, that after the way, which way? I'm the way, the truth, and the life way, Jesus. Which they call heresy. Notice they'll call Christ heresy. So worship I the God of my fathers. Now why was he called a pestilent fellow? The next statement. Believing all things. He didn't say some things. Is healing but a day? Yes. Why was he such a pestilent fellow? He believed all things. He believed the Bible completely. Amen. Which are written in the law and in the prophets. I want to deal with being a pestilent fellow. To be a pestilent fellow or a Christian disease, you've got to believe all things. Amen. Believe everything in the Word of God completely. As I said a while ago, from Genesis to the maps. Till you're so full of the Spirit of God that nobody recognizes who you are. The people that picked me up at the hotel, they said, we've never heard of you. I said, thank God. I'm so glad. I shun publicity. I'm not interested in you knowing who I am. I'm interested in you knowing who the Jesus is inside of me. Amen. A pestilent fellow. A ringleader. A military commander. I enjoy worshiping Jesus. I'm not embarrassed to serve God. I'm not embarrassed to use his name in public. My God, I used his name in public before in vain. Now I use it in praise. It doesn't bother me in the least. Bless God, I can shout and scream and holler. Sometimes I just give a glory whoop holler. I live on planes and airplanes. I fly 300,000 miles a year preaching this gospel. God has been so good and gracious. And I just liable to shout when I least expect it. I don't know the Holy Ghost is going to come out. It wasn't long ago I was sitting in an aisle seat. There was a man in the middle seat and another man in the window seat. I sat down and just looked at the man. When you don't know somebody, you give them that familiar nod. You ever notice that? People, you know, you go. I was sitting there minding my own business, not realizing that the Holy Ghost was going to come out. So I just looked at him and I nodded. And he nodded and I went, Kuma Bashiki Likusamandria. And he just kind of looked at me and I said, did you hear that? And he looked, he said, yes. I said, man, you just heard God talk. You just heard the Creator talk. God talking. He went, whoa, man. Just looked at me weird. He said, God? I said, you just heard God talk, mister. He said, do it again. I said, I can't. He said, what do you mean you can't? I said, it wasn't me talking. I said, he was God. But before I could get God, a kuma, she could, he said, there he goes again. By that time, I was stirred. I looked at the man by the window. I said, say, do you know Jesus? He said, no, but look like I'm going to find out about him, I guess. Yeah, glory to God. A pestilent fellow. A ringleader. A Christian disease. A Christian disease full of the power and presence of Jehovah Jireh. Not Jehovah barely get by. Not El Cheapo, El Shaddai. A God that's more than enough. I quit worrying about my needs years ago. I don't have any. Why? Because every time I go to talk to him about him and I get in his presence, I forget. I never went to the Father and say this, hey, God, we need some help. You know, I mean, I never heard God say this. Listen, Jesse, we got to cut back, man. Gabriel broke his wing last week. We got trouble, man. Won't you help us? I'm on television. I don't get on television and say, won't you help me? Won't you help me? If I don't hear from you today, I'm not going to make it. I don't do that kind of junk because I never heard Jesus say, won't you help me? If you don't help me today, I'm going to have to cancel the Capernaum convention due to lack of funds. Wait a minute. Jesus is the same. People need to learn to give. That's it. Just to get the gospel out. I just tell people, you want to know my financial appeal? If you like to share and care in this ministry, then you do what God tells you to do. And if you don't worry about it. We'll still be here. See you next week. Bye-bye. That's how it works. I made up my mind. I don't have a need. God puts me in the ministry. There are many things we need to get in the ministry. That's his business, not mine. I don't struggle. I don't fight the devil. I walk on him. Amen. The devil's the biggest idiot in town. Don't you know that? Yeah. He's on the limits of retardation now, that bozo brain. He thinks he's going to win. He's a fool. Yeah. He's before the Father accusing me and you. He doesn't realize that Jesus is the Son of God. I'm a Son of God. Jesus is the Son of God, which happened to be my lawyer. And the judge in that court's my daddy. Now, how am I going to get condemned in that kind of court? My God, it's my family. A pestilent fellow. A pestilent fellow. Pestilent, man. Getting people saved. You know, I'm from South Louisiana. Why I talk funny, I'm a Cajun boy. If you're from South Louisiana, you got to be Catholic at least once. I mean, that's just the way it is. Bless God. You're Christian. You're confirmed. You're Catholic. Why would you want to be anything else? That's what I was taught. How many of y'all been Catholic at least once? I could tell. I was, man, my God. But my mother got saved, filled with the Holy Ghost. It was wonderful. I don't have any problem with Catholic people. I don't have a problem with nobody. I do. I love them all. I don't agree with everything they say. I love them all. But God saved us. Let me tell you something. How many of you are the only person saved in your family? Hold your hand up. You notice when they get around you, you make them nervous? Why? You one out of many. How can you make them nervous? Because greater is he who's in you than he who's in that world. The devil will respect the anointing of God inside of you even if you don't know you got it. The devil ain't got a lick of sense. He's really ignorant. Who would want to leave heaven to go to hell? Bozo. He thinks he's going to win. He's spiritually dead. We're spiritually alive. He's dying daily. The Bible said he's dying daily. We are being renewed daily. See, where's that scripture? Go find it. Search. Study. A pestilent fellow. The Apostle Paul was a pestilent man. A Christian disease. How do you get people saved? Smile at them a little bit. You know, Pentecostals, they're not known for thinking. Not too much. They're known more for feeling than they do for thinking. You know, they feel it. Oh, yes, Lord. Oh, yes. Oh, oh, oh. That could be the air conditioning doing that. We don't know. Pentecostal people are willing people. Half are willing to work and the other half's willing to let them. Don't shout me down. That's the truth. I made up my mind. I was in a church not long ago. And this pastor, and he loved me, and I loved him. He said, "But Jesse, my church is tight. It's cold." He said, "What do you think our problem is?" I said, "It's deacon possessed." I have nothing against deacons or elders. I believe in those. But not possessions. I don't mean this rudely. Listen, I'm laying it on you today because I'm getting out of town. A pestilent fellow. A Christian disease. God told us to come together in the unity of the faith. He didn't say the unity of doctrine. He said the church world for centuries trying to get us together in the unity of doctrine. That ain't going to work, brother. Baptists are going to believe once saved, always saved, whether you people like it or not. You're going to believe speaking in tongues, whether they like it or not. But you can come together in the unity of the faith. What is the faith? The faith is Jesus. Jesus. I guarantee you, if you just sit there and let that Holy Ghost bubble over in you and bubble out of you, you'll touch that next person. Just let your light so shine. Say, "But Jesse, do you ever have trouble?" Sure, but who cares? Who really cares if I have trouble? You know, you start telling people your trouble. You know what they tell you? "I'm glad it's you and not me." Ain't no use talk about it, bless God. They're going to wish it on you, not themselves. Now, I want to deal with this. You as a believer must become so infectious in God's word that you literally become as he is. Now, don't get mad at me if he said, "As I am, as he is, so are we in this world." Don't get mad at me for saying that. I didn't say that. I just repeated it. I don't know why people get mad when they take their position in God. Other Christian people, "Who do you think you are?" Well, a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar person. A steadfast, immovable, abounding, working, prosperous, blessed in the city, blessed in the field. That doesn't mean money. That's just only one small part of it. To me, prosperity is the peace of God that passes all understanding. It's wonderful. Glory to God. You see, a pestilent fellow, believing all things. Now, you think about it. Most churches today do not believe all things. They don't believe in healing, not for today. Why haven't we touched the world yet? Why isn't Botkin saved? Sure got enough preaching here. Why not? Because a lot of people don't believe all things. They're not pestilent people. They're not Christian diseases. See, I don't try to get people, I don't change their religion. Religion is a theological wilderness. It's a garden of weeds. I just let my light shine. It's wonderful. I've had people say, "Man, you must have a happy day." I said, "Yes." They just go, "Man, just let your light shine. Look, it's affecting you. I ain't said nothing." You're going, "You people watching my television, you froze to that couch. You know what I mean? What are you going to say next?" Keep on the television. I was preaching not long ago. I had a letter come in one of my television stations. And my God, I mean spit flying. I just preaching up a storm. This man walked in from a jog and his wife was watching me. She was right in the Alabama area there on the Gulf Coast. He said, "I'm tired of you watching them television preachers." And he reached over to took the television off. And I just happened to say, "Get your hand off the knob and sit down now." He did this. Whoa. Hey, listen. Wait. Don't applaud. Wait. He wrote me a letter and said, "Man, I thought you could see me." And he sent $166. A heathen. Supporting the ministry. A heathen. You know what ABC says about my show? They said, he's a different preacher. He's variety. See, I have no control over television commercials when you're on secular television. I liable to be preaching, then all of a sudden they'll cut off and say, it's Miller time. I've had bra commercials, Preparation H commercials. I didn't think I did that to people, bless God. But that's all right. The heathen world's watching. Fine with me. Put what you want on there. It's wonderful. Pestilent fellow. Christian disease. People get mad when you say what God said about you. I've seen people say, who do you think you are? And I just calm down with this and get in this ditch with us. Come on. I'm not getting in your glorified ditch. I mean that sincerely. See, people are struggling too much, fighting the devil. For what? Here's something else people are doing. They're climbing mountains. God never told you to be a mountain climber. He said, be a mountain dissolver. So they say, okay, get your spiritual gear on, bless God. Climb up this mountain, he that endureth. My Bible said, say unto the mountain, be thou removed, not doubt in your heart. Believe those things which you say shall come to pass. You shall have whatsoever you saith. Kenneth Hagin did not write that verse. Everybody thought he did. What do you want to do climbing mountains in your life for? You can spend your whole life climbing a mountain. Why don't you say unto the mountain? All right. I refuse to climb a mountain. I don't have time. Jesus is coming. Amen. He's coming soon. Amen. Very soon. People say, oh, people have said that for years, but they hadn't lived the way we've lived. We've seen old Babylon raise its head up. Oh, Saddam, come on, Saddam. Just come on. Amen. Bible said, let not your heart be troubled. Man, I watch CNN, it's like watching the Bible come to pass. Yeah. I go, yeah, now! It's wonderful. I had a man wrote me the other day, he said, Brother Jesse, how come we got so many different churches? I said, it's interpretation. You know how we got Baptist and Methodist, Episcopalian, Assembly of God, Church of God, Church of Christ, Catholic, Mennonite, Amish. You know how we got all that? Interpretation. Jesus wrote what he said and meant what he said. You need a good theologian to help you misunderstand the Bible. Just believe what he said. Pestilent fellow. Let me give you a prime example. I wrote him back and said this. Let me show you how so many different religions have come into order. We all believe in the same Jesus. Just believe it in different ways. Why? Well, it's like President Bush coming on and said, well, he started telling me what he said. I can understand Bush. Anybody can understand Bush. He's simple. He's really pretty simple. He talks. He's to the point. And I heard everything he said, and I understood exactly what the president said. Then here come Peter Jennings. And Tom Brokaw, and Dan Rather. They start telling me what he said. And by the time they finish telling me what he said, he ain't said nothing they said he said. That's religion. That's interpretation. A pestilent fellow. A pestilent fellow. When you understand the anointing of this book, when you understand what it can do for you, my God, my God. My daughter told me, she said, Dad, do you ever get tired of going to church? She just got married, my daughter. Free at last. Thank God Almighty. Praise God. Wonderful wedding. I paid for it all. I learned something about weddings. You can't say nothing, you pay for everything. Why did I pay for everything? Because I'm El Shaddad. I'm dad that's more than enough. She don't worry about nothing. Why? Because every time she went to the refrigerator, it had food in it. Every time she brought her friends over and they went to the refrigerator. It's funny how girls don't eat much in front of boys. You ever notice that? You get girls around boys, they eat about a half a slice of pizza. Oh, but invite them over to your house to a slumber party. You got to have an 18-wheeler Domino pizza truck outside. Eat like horses, man. But in front of boys, oh no. See, it's time to become a godly pest, a pestilent fellow. St. John chapter 1, verse 12, it says this. But as many as received him, didn't say as many as believed him. Turn with me to chapter 1, verse 12. St. John chapter 1, verse 12. But as many as received him, didn't say as many as believed him, but as many as received him, taking Christ into yourself. To them gave he power. The word power, that means dynamos, however you want to say it in Ohio. To become the sons of God. Not the son of God, but a son of God. Even to them that believe, present tense, on his name. But as many as received it. It says as many as believed it. Now, some of you have been Catholic, and I like the Catholic people. But let me show you your mode of worship. I was christened a Catholic. All that kind of stuff, you know, done all that stuff. Let me show you your mode of worship. You went to confession. You went to communion. Then you sinned. Am I telling the truth? Confession, communion. You went to confession. Hallelujah. You went to communion at midnight mass. Wow! And then said, well, come on, mama, let's go. And you sin. Is that right? Amen. Confession, communion, sin. And most of the time you lied like a dog in that confessional booth. You didn't tell that priest the truth. Why? Because you wanted to get out of there with three Hail Marys and three Our Fathers. Five Hail Marys and five Our Fathers. How many people know what I'm talking about? Now, don't judge me yet. I'm not cutting the Catholics. Hang on. Let me finish this statement. That's what I did. I went to confession, communion, sin. Confession, communion, sin. Confession, communion, sin. That's all I ever did. How do you break this chain, the cycle? I went to church. Never changed. Confession, communion, sin. In the Catholic Church, you don't drink the wine. You eat the host. Remember? You walk up. You kneel down. Sometimes now you can walk. And you put your tongue out. Dominus Deus Patris Sendere. They put the host up. And they tell you, don't bite that host. How many of your mama told you not to bite that host? Don't you bite that host, boy. You're going to bite Jesus. What's the matter with you? Don't bite that host. Okay, man. So you'd walk back. Remember? You'd walk back, I guess. But the problem with that host, it gets stuck in the roof of your mouth. So you'd go. And when nobody was looking. How many of y'all did that? Hold your hand up. Look at it. Get a shot of that television. Yeah? I'm not naked in front of the Catholic Church. Hang on. Don't judge me yet. One time I decided, Peter, to tell that priest the truth. Your name is Peter, right? Praise God. I got down in there, and if you know, been a Catholic, you get in that booth. Father, forgive me. I've sinned been so many days since my last confessions. And he started telling me your sins. So I said, I'm going to tell him the truth. So I said, Father, forgive me. I've sinned been so many days since my last confession. And I started telling him. And he got quiet. All of a sudden he said, oh, come on. I said, it's the truth, Father. It's the truth. And then he left the booth. I thought, now, where is he going? He come over to my side, opened the door. He said, I got to see you, boy. How many of y'all want to know what my penance was? Look at her. I got 9 rosaries. Ooh, well, how many you got? Now, for you Protestants, you don't know what rosary. Lord, I was walking around that little church to them little old ladies. Would you pray one of these for me? I'll be in here for 9 years, man. I need some help. Confession, communion, sin. Now, let me show you. Couldn't break the cycle. Then we became Protestants. And in the Protestant, you get to drink the wine. And you don't have hosts, you have crackers. I'll never forget, I'm standing there, blessed God, 9 years old. I still was a Catholic till I was 18, but I'd switch back and forth. We're going to take communion. Me and my older brother, I'm just looking at him. He's looking at me. This guy walks up to him with a platter of crackers. I look at that. I got me a handful. And my mama said, put that back, boy. I said, hey, mommy, give me a platter of crackers. What do you want me to do? Well, when you don't know, you know, I'm used to going double stitch, patra, son, you know. That's it. Man, I got me a hand. I look at my brother. Then he hands me some. I forget, he handed me the juice. I went, we get the drink here? Yeah. Took me one. Now let me show you what a Protestant mess up. Don't judge me yet. Hang on. Television, don't get mad at me. Wait. Hang on. So I never forget what that preacher said. He said, let's take up the body of Christ together. I got cracker crumb falling off. My mama going, I knew that. Boy, I'm going. He said, now let's drink up the blood of Christ together. And I thought, well, bless God, me get the drink. You know how a kid is. He won't stick his tongue in that glass. You know. So, boy, I get my little glass. Okay. Boy, I'm about ready to drink it. And this blood curdling scream comes from this preacher. If you drink this unworthily, it will damn your soul into hell. I went, oh, no, we don't want none of this yet. Put that back over there. I ain't going to hell for Welchade. Not me, bless God. Not for a thimble of Welchade. I said that to say this. Communion is the holiest act you can do upon the planet Earth. The Protestants gave you great fear in taking it. And sad to say, the Catholics didn't really explain it to you and understood what was going on. We were both wrong. Because we were both not pestilent people. When you're a Christian disease, you know the sacrament. You know it's the blood covenant of God. Amen. Now listen to this. I said that to say this. We should not be reciters of learned words, but rather witnesses of revealed things. See, for years we recited learned words. Holy Mother, Mother of God, Our Father, what in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom, thy will be done on earth, it is in heaven. Next one. Not knocking that. Same thing with Protestants. Now lay me down and sleep, prepare the Lord himself to take it by his side, boy, wake, pray the Lord's name. God is good, God is great, and we thank him for our food. Protestants said it too. We recited learned words. Don't get mad at me. True. We were not witnesses of revealed things. I wanted to know how to change. How do you stop being a drug addict? See, how do you stop sin? I want to be a pestilent fellow. If God is real, I want to touch him. Where are you if you are real? See, I was a reciter of learned words instead of a witness of revealed things. That's the difference. Paul was a witness of revealed things. You have to understand that. The fullness of God's Spirit. So now I let my light shine. Now when I take the Lord's table, I'm not going, oh Lord, don't kill me, Lord. Because fear has no part in my life. Perfect love casted out fear. Jesus is perfect love. Love never faileth. Isn't that wonderful? So I made up my mind to be a pestilent fellow. But let me say this. I'm still growing. There are some things in this Bible I don't like. That shocks you? If there are some scriptures in this Bible, if I could rip them out, I would. I'd rip them out in a second if I could, but I can't. Why? Because he said, don't add anything to it and don't take anything away. I'll give you one better than that. There's some scripture in this Bible you don't like. Amen. I'm going to tell you one. Bless those that curse you. You like that? How many of y'all have been cussed out? Hold your hand up. Did you give them an offering? Did you bless them? Did some guy walk up to you and say, you blank or blank, no good piece of blank, blank? You go, bless God, let me give you $20 here. Just bless you real good. Did you? Did you bless them? No, you got anger. You want some of me, Jack? Yeah. I'll get in your face and knock you down, boy. I'll repent tomorrow, but your body's mine today. Sound familiar? You don't like that verse, but that don't change it. You got to live by it. Bless those that curse you. You enjoy being cursed? Here's another one you don't like. Pray for those that despitefully use you. You like that? Somebody rip you off, lie about you? Huh? I signed a $150,000 contract with PTL. Jim Bacon, Tampa Bacon, the thing exploded, blew up. I lost $70,000 in 1 month's time. I mean, I was mad. I was mad. God said, pray for them. I said, okay, kill them, God. Kill them. Ain't no use to lie. I was angry. You know what Jesus said? I can't do that. I came to give life. See, Jesus couldn't go to funerals. He messed them up. You couldn't bury nobody around Jesus. I didn't like that. I got so mad. I'm not going to tell you the truth that I like. I did. Tell them, God. I was going to fly to Charlotte and rip off Tammy's eyelashes, stick them on her head. I know those people. I preached in that barn. Bless God, I raised money for PTL. I was their boy. They love me. Boy, just, you can do this, you can do that. What? They're not throwing them. I wonder how many other people made mistakes, but it didn't hit ABC, CBS, NBC. I don't agree what they did. Don't misunderstand me. That's not the issue. The issue is there's a Jesus. They may pay, and they are paying a great price. But they can make it to heaven. You see? I don't agree with the dead. Don't misunderstand me. I don't like it. I had a man on television say, well, Reverend, what do you think about Baker and Swigert's sin? I'm on television like I am now. I said, well, let's talk about your sin for 10 minutes, then we'll talk about theirs. And he just looked at me. He said, what? I said, let's talk about your sin. Listen, I agree what they did is wrong. But let's talk about your sin. Have you ever committed adultery, man? He went, huh? I said, put the camera on the board. Come on. Wife. Hey, wife. Wife. Listen. Listen. Wife. You're married, aren't you? Yeah. Wife. Have you? I said, hey, we're not going to deny their sin, but let's talk about yours for a while. Amen. It aggravated me. Why? As a pestilent fellow. I was on a plane all when the swagger scandal had just busted. I was reading my Bible and the guy said, yeah, you're a preacher? I said, yes, sir. That just aggravated me. I said, hey, first thing I knew it was coming. Next statement. Well, what do you think about swagger? And I said the same thing to him as I said to that television man. I said, well, let's talk about your sin for 10 minutes. His wife was sitting next to him. I said, mister, you've ever committed adultery? He went, what? And I said it real loud. I said, hey, have you ever committed adultery? Tell me, have you? And he going, and his wife went, tell the man. I had him, boy. I had him. He didn't know what to say. He went, I said, come on, mister, tell me. We'll talk about those men's sin, but let's talk about yours. Have you ever committed? Come on, have you? He couldn't talk. His wife chewed him. You just eating his. Tell him, man, what's the matter with you? We got to Dallas, Texas, man. They go walking off the plane and his wife behind him. I tell you what, he just chewing his lunch. I thought it was so funny. I got out of my seat, reached up to get my briefcase, and there was a bunch of people looked at me and said, yeah, he did it. Yeah, he did it. Yeah, he did. Pestilent people. We should not be reciters of learned words, but rather witnesses of revealed things. I'm from the South. I preach in all different types of churches. And this month I'm going to preach at St. Agnes Baptist Church, 3,000 black member church. Love these people. Listen to this. I was sitting and I was talking to one of the members. And this brother that knew me evidently couldn't see the brother because he was behind. He could see me, but couldn't see him. And he asked me, he said, excuse me, Brother Jesse, was that a black man you was talking to? I went, oh, man, I'm sorry, man. I forgot to ask him. He went, yeah. I forgot. I don't know. I'm not interested in that. I'm a pestilent person. A Christian disease. A military commander. Ooh, I like that. A reproach against sin. You know why people sin, Peter? You know why preachers mess up the pulpit? You know why? I had some of them come to my office and they say, just I couldn't help myself. I looked at them and said, lie, you fry. You're lying, boy. You, first thing, sexual immorality is you're not caught on the cuff. That's premeditated sin. Amen. You look at that woman, she look at you and say, what's happening, mama? How you doing? Get down with your bad self. Yeah. You know it and I know it to be true. It's a lie. You know why people sin, brother? Because they don't hate it. They hate what sin does to them. They hate the wages of sin. But they don't hate sin. See, if you hate something, you're not tempted by it. Let me say that again. See, you got to hate sin. But most people hate what sin does to them. That's why they always repent after they get caught. They hate the wages of sin. They don't hate sin. Say, you got to hate sin. Why didn't Jesus sin? Because he was the Son of God? No. Because he hated sin. Amen. I've said this before. I'll say it again. George Bush, the President of the United States, hates, totally abhors broccoli. Can't stand it. You might have heard him on CNN. And he said, I don't want that broccoli on Air Force One. I don't want it in the White House. I'm the President of the United States. I'm not going to eat that trash. My mama made me eat that trash. I'm not eating it no more. How many of y'all heard him say it? Hold your hand up. And the broccoli growers of America sent him 9 tons. Did y'all see it on television? I promise you, President Bush can walk by broccoli and not be tempted. Because he hates it. Let me ask you the question. Do you hate sin? Well, we lost a few right there. People went. Or do you hate what sin does to you? Huh? Ah, there is where we are. See, pestilent fellow. A Christian disease. So I don't want to be a reciter of learned words, but rather a witness of revealed things. Believers ought to be reflections of Christ instead of casting reflections upon Christ. See, I want to be a reflection of Christ, not cast a reflection upon Christ. See, there's nothing wrong with admiring beauty. You see a pretty lady, you see a good-looking man, and I'm going to say, that's a good-looking woman, or that's a good-looking man. So what? But it stops there. You know, you've got the mind of Christ. It's not full of devious trash. You understand? See, when you truly love somebody, let me explain, make it easier for you. When you're a pestilent fellow, there's a difference between loving somebody and being in love with somebody. See, I really love you people. I've just met you today. I really do. I can sense we have the same spirit. I love you, but I'm in love with Kathy Duplantis. That's a difference. See, Pastor Peter loves you people, but he's in love with Phyllis, right? He's in love. I can see when you look at it, he goes, Phyllis. He just loves. I'm embarrassing him, but it's true. I can see it. He said, that's good. And I look and I said, he's in love with this woman. He don't just love her. He's in love with her. See, I don't just love Christ. I'm in love with Christ. I just look at Jesus and go, ooh, Lord. My wife loves me, man, so she can't help herself. I don't mean that because of who I am. See, she's in love with me. I don't. She does. See, women love. Women understand affection. Most men don't. Most men understand physicality. What's happening, mama? How you doing? But women tell their husbands, tell me if I'm true, honey, hold me. Just hold me. Look, now the husband say, I'll hold you, mama. No, you big idiot. Listen to what I'm saying here. It's called affection. Am I telling the truth, ladies? You're saying, hold me, love me, you know. See, what women hate, and I bet you this happens quite a bit. I use the word bet in a loose way. A woman will look at her husband and say, honey, I love you. Here's what the man says. Me too. Ladies, hold your hand up if that's true. Why? Because men have a hard time showing feeling. See, they've been taught, be a man, boy. But you're a man. You can handle it. Yeah, you got to be a man. See, my sister could stump her toe out in the backyard. Grandpa, daddy, Uncle Fred, everybody run out and grab her toe. Daddy, make it feel better. Mama, kiss it, make it feel better. But me, I'm 5 years old. I could go out the front door in a Mack truck, run over my legs. Bones hanging out. My dad said, stand up, boy. Be a man, boy. Put them bones back into your legs. I ain't paying for them bones, boy. How many of you men were raised like that? Hold your hand up. Come on. Why? Because you taught to be a man. I remember the first time I picked up my sister's baby doll. My grandfather looked at me and just slapped me. He said, what's the matter with you, boy? You getting funny on us? I was 5 years old. He said, you want to play? Yeah, boy, here's a gun. Shoot the doll, boy. Be a man, boy. I was only 5 years old. How many of you men raised like that? Hold your hand up. That's why you have a hard time saying I love you. So you say, me too. Because you really love her. Me too. See, you've been taught, be a man, son. Control this thing in your life. You can handle it. That's why men die of heart attacks quicker. Why? Because they hold these things. How do you cry when you've been told you're the boss, you're the man? But you busting inside, but you got to be a man. Jesus cried. Why? Because he is a pestilent fellow. Jesus aggravated the devil greatly. I love to aggravate the devil. It is so much fun, boy. I do. I get up in the morning and go, and I get him. He's up again. What are we going to do this morning today? Let's see how we can mess up his work today. Yeah. Pestilent people. I want to be a reflection of Christ instead of casting a reflection upon him. Now, I've preached you a Jesus you may have never saw before. Some people say, that man's nothing but a showman. You're right. Show you how to get healed. Show you how to get saved. Show you how to be happy. Show you how to be blessed. Wonderful. How do you pray, Brother Jesse? Hello, Jesus! Hey, Jesse. He's never called me Reverend Duplantis, Evangelist Jesse Duplantis. I never called him Reverend Christ. I call him Jesus, he called me Jesse. Notice both our names starts with a J. I don't know if it's spiritual or not, but I got like to think so. We're friends. See, I not only have a relationship, I have a fellowship. Pestilent fellow. Christian disease. Let me just say this. If you believe in God for a lost husband or a child, if it's your husband, it's this tough luck he married you. What? You got the promise of your family down to 1,000 generations. It don't make no difference. If thou canst believe all things. Not some things. See, the church, the Bible says ask anything to the Father. The church says ask some things. Notice how we switch words. God said, ask anything of the Father in my name, that shall it be done. Church said, now let's don't get crazy with this thing. Notice that. And before you know it, we begin to believe unbelief. And call it faith. You got to know the difference between a person's personality and a person's anointing. When you hear Oral Roberts say, something good going to happen to you. That's not the anointing of God. That's Oral. That's his personality. When you see Kenneth Copeland turn around and say, Jesus is Lord. That's not the anointing. That's Copeland. When you see Shambach go, won't somebody run around this tent, somebody. That's not the anointing of God. That's R.W. I know these people. Are you not going to know when you see Robert Shuler says, you got to have faith. Faith. That's not the anointing, that's Robert. When you see a Tilton say, put your hand on the screen. Right now. Yes, yes, yes. That's not the anointing, that's Tilton. That's not a shot. Hang on. Don't. That's not a criticism. See, you got to recognize the difference between the anointing of God and the person. See. When you see Brother Hagin says, he does this a lot. Well, the Word of God says, don't you see? I've laid many hands on empty heads. You ever notice he does this quite often? Yeah. Yeah. See, there's a difference between the man or the person and the anointing. Always recognize the difference. God will use that person's personality to put the anointing of God out for people to eat. But you don't rest upon the personality. You rest upon the anointing. Oh, you hear what I'm saying? See, you don't judge the individual. Let God handle that. It's hard to do, though, be honest. I know. Some of you have been trying to figure me out since I started. You got a long time. I've been trying to figure myself out, too. I don't know why God saved me. Why? Because he loved me. Why would he call me to be a preacher? You ever seen anybody like me? Weird, huh? Strange. You know, most people say, you know, most people think I'm an... They say, you know, mister, you are very... You got gray hair, your suit's button. You look like an executive. Till you open your mouth. Yeah, I've had a lot of people tell me that. You know? I don't mean that rudely. I've had people say, man, looks classy. But then all of a sudden he's preaching, wow! He gets red in the face. And says some of the wildest stuff. Yeah. I never thought I'd ever see my ears. My hair was long. My daddy used to tell me, son, if you run away from home and hide in the barbershop, we'll never find you. Never, son. I never thought I'd see my hair. I never thought my hair would grow white. Why did it grow white? I seen the Lord. Well, it happened to Charlton Heston. Happened to Moses. Why couldn't it happen to me? I saw him, people. He's a nice person. Pestilent fellow. Why are you, Brother Jesse? I don't know. I'm sure no better than anybody else. I'm not interested in what you can do for me. I'm interested in what Christ can do for you. And see, the only Jesus some people ever see is the Jesus in you or the Jesus in me. I want to be a reflection of Christ. How do you know God had a sense of humor? Oh, by the people he hired. Them 12 boys, you had to have a sense of humor. Them boys were Pentecostals, you could tell. They'd slap you, cuss you, beat you, and punch you. That's right, brother. I mean, they were tough cookies. The Lord didn't go to ORU to get his disciples. Think about it. He went down and got them Jewish Cajun boys. I'm telling you what, son. But they changed the world. Jesus looked at his head man and said, when you're converted, you'll get things done. Jesus had lost people on his staff. Don't shout me down. He had a scandal in his ministry. People stealing money from him. Oh, boy, wouldn't that be juice for ABC today? Huh? Jesus had prostitutes following him. Why didn't he sin? He hated sin. So he cast 7 devils out of one woman and set her free and gave her the greatest proclamation anyone's ever said. He's alive. He's alive. Okay, I'll say this in close. He shut redemption down for Mary Magdalene. Shut it down, man. Made me wait. Made you wait. Made his father wait. Made hell wait. How do you know? She came to anoint his body. This woman came to anoint his body. Spent money foolishly because he said 3 days later I'll raise. They didn't believe it. So they bought spices. Would you believe it? Think about it for a minute. Let's just be honest. It'd be hard to believe. Jesus was resurrected. But Mary Magdalene messed up the ascension of the resurrection. She come to town. He kind of had... It's amazing. If I can put this in English, I can say it in tongues. He could kind of dial up the glory and dial it down. And she looked at him and said, where have you laid him? Jesus kind of rebuked her. He said, woman, why do you weep? He said, he's taking my Lord on the way. Is that? He looked at her, said, Mary. And then she freaked. He said, don't touch me, woman. Control yourself. Why did he tell her not to touch him? Because he'd had to do it all over again. And you can't crucify Jesus twice. See, he had not yet gone to the Father, poured his blood out upon the holies of holies. He was still in that high priest position. That's why they had to tie that rope around them boys' legs. Bring them in there. If they wasn't working, jerk them out. And the bells on them coats on that thing. He said, don't touch me. I've not yet ascended. Whoa, whoa, Mary. But go tell them. Go tell Peter. I'm alive. Now, brother, if you want to get something done, tell a woman. That's true. That's not a shot. That's a fact. She hooked it down that road. You know what Jesus did? He shut down redemption. He made Father wait, heaven wait, hell wait, the world wait for your sins. He said, well, I got to take care of Mary here. He saw her. She was weeping. He was hurting. He saw he had compassion. He said, wait, I'm going to take care of Mary. So he dials down a little bit. So he looks like a gardener. See, you got to remember, he was just a normal person till the anointing came out of him. That's scriptural. He dials down. He saw a person hurting. He shut the world down to get to one lady. He said, go tell him I'm alive. Then he dials back up. Becomes glory. Boom! Goes to the holies of holies. Calls Jehovah, Jehovah. I declare that man is free. Pours his blood out upon the holies of holies. Jehovah El Shaddai, Yahweh, God says, man can come boldly to the throne of grace. And you think Jesus would hang around. He said, listen, I got to get back down. I'll see you later. Where you going, man? I'm going to visit my friends. Bam! Back down to earth he came. Walking down the road. And women came and ran and fell at his feet and grabbed him. But I said that to say this, he'll shut this world down to get to you. He will. He'll shut this world down to get to you. Mary Magdalene, I had to wait until Jesus made her feel better before I could be redeemed. I know I'm preaching long. I can't help it. before I could be redeemed. He took care of that lady. Hallelujah. Now, why did I come to Botkins, Ohio? I'll tell you why. Come here, lady. You. Come here. Shocks you, huh? Yeah, stand right there. That's why I come to here. I want to stay in New Orleans. But God's going to help you today. Now, let's see if this stuff works. Because you shouted, you laughed, and you enjoyed yourself. But if it don't work, it don't change nothing. Let's see if it works. Pray with me. Head up. Watch and pray. Come on, pray with me. Let's see if it works. Let's see what Jesus can do, huh? Let me get back over here. You people watching my television. Hey, my friend is here. His name is Jesus. See, I don't care if you're Catholic. I didn't mean to cut the Catholic Church. If you took that, it's wrong. Because I love the Catholic people. I just tried to show you something. How do I break tradition? How do I meet this man, Jesus? You that think you know the Bible from Genesis to the maps. Why don't you show some love in it instead of some sword? The word of God is a two-edged sword. One side cuts the devil, but the other side cuts you. And that sword of the Spirit is sharper than any two-edged sword. You know there are other two-edged swords that it's sharper than? Do you use the word of God as a surgery tool? Or do you use the word of God as a healing tool? You think about it today. And you accept Jesus right where you are. When you view this film, you'll say, but it's just film. But the anointing of God is on it. Try it and like it. It's wonderful.